Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, joined by Andy Shea. We'll have Ross Tucker along shortly for Tucker's Tape and Ask Ross. But Andy, let's you and I start with a review of the news. Some Big Ten conference news came out this week. Apparently, the Big Ten is considering dropping their divisions, make it just a one-division schedule. There's a couple different reasons for doing this, but they're talking about doing this as early as the 2023 season. What are your thoughts?
So I think we've been screaming about this for like a few years, and basically, as the college football playoff system, that's not going to change anytime in the near future, it looks like, right? It's not going to expand. I'm not sure the Big Ten could come up with a sort of a less balanced and competitive way to create an opportunity for their teams to be in the college football playoff than this East versus West alignment. It's created such an imbalance in the conference itself. And it's taken them, 2016, so it's taken them 6 years to realize that, wow, this isn't very good for our teams. So I think anything they're looking at is, it has to be better than this. That's just my two cents. And the flip side of it is, sometimes you get, this is what they call a trial balloon. Maybe they're floating an idea and they want to see, but the Big Ten, spoke about this directly and sort of activated this. So it has to be under serious consideration. And all I can say as a college football fan is thank goodness, finally.
Well, as Penn State fans, I think we would look forward to it because of the imbalance of the two divisions. Whereas I don't think that's the Big Ten's incentive. I think it has everything to do with the playoffs and leading into it.
Oh,
but
sure.
One ironic thing I saw in the article was, well, first of all, when they set up these divisions, it was obvious they weren't balanced well. They weren't balanced at all.
Yeah.
When you had Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State on the same side. And the only thing that made sense was to put Michigan into the West. And they were like, no, we can't do that because of the Ohio State-Michigan rivalry, which always had to be the last game of the season, no matter what. That rivalry is sacred because they didn't want to have Michigan-Ohio State play the last game of the year, but also both win their divisions and have to play a second time the following week. Now, reading some of the articles, gee, isn't it great you could have Michigan-Ohio State play the last week of the season, then play in a playoff game together? To me, it's, again, the Big Ten catering to those two teams still bothers me, Andy.
Yeah, it kind of should, but it's also, they've earned it a little bit. Just a little bit, right, Jimmy? I mean,
no. No.
I think they've earned it a little bit, but it would have been, and now the Big Ten's also discovering, like, well, they could actually have played in week 12 and turn around and play in the Big Ten championship game. And, oh, wow, we would benefit from that on about 19 fronts, and at the top of our list would be in our pockets. So, of course, this makes sense that they're going to look at it. But it's been way overdue. It's been a sort of an old, tired dog that you sort of, drag out every once in a while and say, look, there's the old guy. It's the East versus West. The division's a train wreck. Fix it. And it's taken them at least 6 years, in my opinion, to consider it. But they are looking at it for 2023. So there's hope on the horizon, Jimmy. There's a little bit of hope on the horizon.
We shall see. Remember, we felt that way last summer about a 12-team college football playoff. So that's not imminent, even though we thought it was going to be. Let's get to some actual player news.
Sure.
came out this week that Cam Butler, he's a defensive end from Miami of Ohio, first team All-MAC player. He announced that he received an offer. He's in the transfer portal, received an offer to come to Penn State. Defensive end, area of need, Andy?
Yeah, sure, 100%. One of your defensive ends that you lost both your defensive ends that were your top performers and one of your prospects at that position to be a lead dog at that position is coming off a season and, you know, season ending injury where he never played in 2021. So, yeah, makes perfect sense. And, you know, this guy's, he's got some meat on the bone. He's 6'3", 250. He's an outside guy. He's played two seasons at Miami. He had nearly 100 tackles, 13 and a half sacks. Good numbers for a MAC player. Does he translate to a Big Ten Power Five field? Well, when Penn State dipped into not quite the MAC, but dipped into Temple, they knew what they were looking for. Penn State was his first offer when he went in the transfer portal. James Franklin had a conversation with him and offered him right away. In other words, he's a high priority target for Penn State. Now, other schools have since offered him as well, but Penn State knew right away when he went into the transfer portal that he was one of the guys that they're looking for.
I find it interesting. We've heard the question often since Manny Diaz took the defensive coordinator position at Penn State. Would we end up getting any players from Miami? Well, different Miami, but here's a potential defensive player from a Miami, if not the Miami, Andy. Also, some other news, portal news, of course, that's that time of year.
Sure.
A.J. Litton, who was a transfer portal into Penn State a year ago from Florida State, didn't see a lot of action here. At the time, I believe Penn State fans reacted with a little bit of a, really at cornerback, you know, not sure that was an area of need. I'm not sure he even saw the field at cornerback. I know he played special teams. Well, it's been announced he's back in the portal. No surprise. Again, I'll say it. This is the reason for the portal, for a guy who doesn't see a path to the field on his own, on his current team.
Correct. And not only were Penn State fans right, like, this isn't a position of need. I think what AJ found out was it's a crowded house at that position. And the dudes that are kind of in front of me are young and pretty darn good. So, you know, he played special teams, which is he got on the field, but he obviously thinks there's a role for him as a cornerback somewhere. And let's face it, this right now in this time, cornerback is not a position if you're in the transfer portal where you want to be looking at the Pennsylvania State University.
No, and we've talked about the portal now for a couple weeks and the needs for Penn State. And I think it's linebacker, offensive line. Yeah, if you could find a guy who fits defensive line, fine. Mentioning offensive line, not a lot of news on it, but the two guys that are possibilities in the portal that we know Penn State has offered, and are still possibilities is Tyler Steen from Vanderbilt, Hunter Norzad from Cornell, who would be a grad transfer and have 2 years remaining. What's fascinating to me is both these guys, Andy, played tackle at their respective schools. Both of them, I've talked to people, scouting reporters, yeah, they played tackle, but they might be better off at guard.
Yeah, they could be better off at guard. I think they're Penn State's top two targets as offensive linemen. I think Tyler from Vanderbilt is the more attractive one in terms of just a pure tackle. Yeah, you might say in a perfect world he's better inside, but I mean, he's played both at Vandy. He's got 36 games of experience. He's got 2 years of eligibility. He's not going to make a decision for a couple weeks because his younger brother hasn't made his college decision. He's waiting for his younger brother to make that, you know, next week in that second commitment window. That way he doesn't pick a school where they have to play against each other, which kind of makes perfect sense. But he could also end up and stay at Vanderbilt too. So the crazy part for me, one quick note on this, Jimmy, real quick, is as underwhelming as Penn State's offensive line has been recently, the crazy part is they have plenty of guys that are playing in the NFL. Donovan Smith, Ryan Bates, Will Fries, Connor McGovern. They all started games in the NFL this past season. So it's a crazy little disconnect that I'm trying to close the gap on in my own mind, and I can't do it. But Hunter's a Penn State offer, the kid from Cornell. He's got five schools. He's definitely going to play inside. I'm 100% sure of that. He's a guard. He's going to play guard at the FBS. He's got Penn State, Illinois, Virginia Tech, Auburn, and Iowa. Those are the schools he's going to choose from, but he is going to be a guard.
The thing with him, though, is I believe he is actually from the South. Is he? I think he's from Georgia, the state of Georgia. So there's thoughts that he might want to go back South. The other note you brought up with Tyler Steen, he's got his brother coming out of high school and, you know, looking for a school. You know, I think some people, and you have to be at least aware of this, might be thinking, okay, Tyler Steen might be looking to get his brother some help with a scholarship and then be a package deal.
No, they are definitely not a package deal. That is, they're in some of the stuff I read about him when I was looking at him and watching some film, he's pretty good, by the way. They are not a package deal. They just want to, you know, Tyler just wants to make sure and let his brother go through the process and make his decision and not jump in front of him and limit him. And because it's natural, they're brothers. You don't want to play against each other. So where his brother chooses to go will, you know, mildly impact him, but he's definitely going to wait to make his decision until after his brother. And I still don't think going back to Vanderbilt is out of the equation. I really, really don't.
Well, he is attractive in this also, Andy. He's a Southeast Conference starting tackle. I realize this isn't Georgia or Alabama, right, or Florida, but it's still a guy who has held up against players from those kind of schools as a starting tackle. So you're not fearful that this is a guy moving up from a lesser conference and have to say, gee, could he handle the Big Ten? He's already handling the Southeast Conference, right?
Yeah, he's got 36 games under his belt already in 3 years at Vanderbilt. That's playing every game, Jimmy. That's a test of durability. And, you know, all those schools that you mentioned, guess what? He's going up against them. So he knows what it looks like, smells like, and tastes like, and he knows what it takes. So that there's a lot of upside to him for Penn State.
It does have that experience. Okay, Andy, that's it for quarter number one. Stick around, guys. Quarter number two, Ross Tucker will be here.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hearty souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.